Nate Wise received a bachelor's degree in education from Idaho State University and a master's in education technology from Lesley University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. After serving as a missionary in the Argentina Buenos Aires South Mission, he met his wife, Becky, at Ricks College. Nate cherishes his role as a husband and father to their four children. His family means everything to him. Nate has worked as the director of the Intellectual Property Office at BYU-Idaho since 2011. He has served in many capacities in the church and currently serves as the first counselor in the bishopric of the BYU-Idaho Young Single Adult 64th Ward. Beyond his professional and ecclesiastical responsibilities, Nate enjoys cruising in his 1936 Chevy pickup and spending quality time with his family.
Brothers and sisters, thank you for coming to devotional today. I just had a thought before I begin that as I was reflecting on my assignment to speak here, I thought about Elder Holland's talk at conference, and frankly, I'm a little nervous about the trap door. But I am grateful for this opportunity to speak to you today, and I appreciate the prayers and the scripture and the musical numbers that help invite the Spirit here today. It is one of my favorite hymns that they sang. I'm especially thankful for my beautiful wife, who I met here at Ricks College just over 30 years ago, who agreed to accompany me on this eternal roller coaster ride, gratefully with more ups than downs. In fact, with the last name of Wise, my proposal to Becky had a scriptural footnote that I like to remind her about, and I think she rolls her eyes at it. It's found in Jacob 6:12. Oh, be wise. What can I say more? So I like to think it was an easy decision. President David O. McKay, quoting Ben Franklin, said, "During courtship, we should keep our eyes wide open, but after marriage, keep them half shut." My wife always seems to see the best in me, so don't be too surprised if she seems to be squinting at me during this devotional. As you heard in my introduction, my role here at BYU-Idaho is managing the intellectual property and copyright on campus. Usually I'm behind the scenes of these devotionals, ensuring that the images, videos, content, and music are copyright cleared. While thinking about my role in copyright management, I found a seemingly obscure revelation to Joseph Smith relating to copyright. Yeah, it's true, there's a revelation about copyright. In the Joseph Smith Papers, Revelation Book 1, page 31, Joseph Smith received a revelation in early 1830 to secure the copyright for the Book of Mormon in Canada. The revelation promised that recent troubles would not thwart the publication and granted permission to sell the copyright in Canada. We'd probably use the term license today. The revelation promised success in selling the copyright if the people did not harden their hearts against the enticements of his spirit and word. It also includes this important reason why securing the copyright is relevant to God's work. It's found in this commandment to Joseph. It says, "Be diligent in securing the copyright of my work upon all the face of the earth which is known by you, that the faithful and the righteous may retain the temporal blessings as well as the spiritual." The temporal blessings involve the publication, distribution, and even discovery of the Book of Mormon, and of course the opportunity to earn some revenue to support the publication of the Book of Mormon and the fledgling church. The spiritual blessings are found in managing and protecting the content that are provided by copyright and the protections of copyright in the Book of Mormon. In fact, in the very print shop where the Book of Mormon was being published, Abner Cole was clandestinely printing unauthorized excerpts from the Book of Mormon, trying to undermine the book's release. Joseph confronted him about the copyright, and he eventually stopped. We learn from this that protecting the written word that includes the fullness of the gospel provides spiritual blessing for us as its readers. It is recognizing these temporal and spiritual blessings that I want to talk about today. No, not just the ones from copyright, though clearly those are important and a source of job security for me, but I want to talk about the temporal and spiritual blessings taught in the Book of Mormon by King Benjamin. He taught his people in Mosiah 2:41 the following, quote, "And moreover, I would desire that you should consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. And if they hold out faithful to the end, they are received into heaven, that thereby they may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness. Oh, remember that these things are true, for the Lord God hath spoken it. There is so much wisdom in this one scripture, but what I hope to share today is how that blessed and happy state is available to us throughout our lives here, no matter our circumstances. All that it requires is our faithfulness, and we can live after the manner of happiness. In my office hangs a picture of my father in front of a newly acquired trailer house that we would share with thousands of mice while we built a log home in the mountains of Montana. We not so affectionately refer to this 30-foot 1952 United Travel trailer as Dumb Dora. I'm also in this photograph playing in the back of that 36 Chevy pickup that was mentioned earlier. I display this picture in my office as a reminder to me of both the spiritual and the temporal blessings of the gospel in my life. My family and the little truck have gone through a process of change and refinement. And while neither is perfect, they represent a legacy of testimony and love, evidence of temporal and spiritual blessings. You see, my dad and our family were not yet acquainted with the blessed and happy state that was available to those that were faithfully living the gospel at this time when the photo was taken. But we were about to learn how taking upon us his yoke provides a better way to live. My dad is here today and is a living example of the enduring promises and growth that comes from relying on the Lord and trusting in his plan for us. Dad, I thank you for choosing to rebuild us in Montana. President Thomas S. Monson wisely taught of this rebuilding when he taught, quote, "Our Heavenly Father, who gives us so much to delight in, also knows that we learn and grow and become stronger as we survive the trials through which we must pass. We know that there are times when we will experience heartbreaking sorrow, when we will grieve, and when we may be tested to our limits. However, such difficulties allow us to change for the better, to rebuild our lives in the way our Heavenly Father teaches us, and to become something different than what we were, better than we were, more understanding than we were, more empathetic than we were, with stronger testimonies than we had before." Close quote. This has been the case for our family. Passing through these trials has helped my parents, siblings, and I to build our testimonies and rebuild our lives a little at a time, well beyond our own abilities. Luckily, my mom was a great storyteller and always kept a journal of our experiences as she and my dad built their home and family in Montana. She later published her journals as a book and titled it Big Skies and Cow Pies. Sadly, we lost my mom this last summer, and the book is now a treasure to us of her positivity and of her posterity, of their positivity, conversion, and resilience, and their testimony. The big skies in the title represent Montana, of course, and more importantly, our Heavenly Father's limitless presence in our lives. When we face trials, we can lift our eyes to the heavens, knowing that our mortal challenges are part of the grandeur of God's plan for us. The cow pies in the title represents the messiness of life, the unexpected difficulties, the disappointments, and the setbacks. And just as cow pies dot the landscape and sometimes the very path that we are on, trials are inevitable. But here's the beautiful part. Even in the mess, God is at work. He can turn our trials into stepping stones for growth and transformation. Growing up in Dumb Dora while building a house wasn't easy. Some of the challenges that we faced seemed unending and tested our faith. A fitting quote for these cow pies comes from Elder Neil A. Maxwell, who taught, quote, "How could there be refining fires without enduring some heat, or greater patience without enduring some instructive waiting, or more empathy without bearing one another's burdens? Not only that others' burdens may be lightened, but that we may be enlightened through greater empathy. And how can there be later magnification without enduring some present deprivation?" Close quote. Our experiences growing as a family in Montana demonstrated this to my parents and our siblings in tangible ways that have defined us as we've been able to look back and recognize the hand of the Lord in our lives. President Ezra Taft Benson taught, quote, "Men and women who turn their lives over to God will discover that he can make a lot more out of their lives than they can. He will deepen their joys, expand their vision, quicken their minds, lift their spirits, multiply their blessings, increase their opportunities, comfort their souls, raise up friends, and pour out peace. One such instructive testimony-building experience from my childhood occurred as we went as a family to get firewood up in the mountains behind our little house. Firewood was key to our survival as it was the only source of heat in the cold winters of western Montana. Allow me to set the stage a little bit. Our family had an old beat-up 1956 International pickup that we called Tessie. My mom loved to name things. It had seen plenty of action in its time. It was once a tow truck, and it was very temperamental when it came to starting. More often than not, it just wouldn't. So we would have to push that heavy truck to get it to start by getting it rolling, and then my dad would hop in and pop the clutch, and Tessie would reluctantly chug to life, and everyone would eventually pile into the cab or into the bed of the old truck. Now, it's not what you'd think of as a family car, but despite its flaws, it was, at the time, probably our most reliable option. That cold morning, we were all packed in old Tessie like sardines as we headed up Mulkey Gulch to get a load of firewood. A fresh skiff of wet snow made everything muddy as the truck crawled up the canyon, and on one steep grade, the truck died and wouldn't start, and Tessie slid in the mud backwards. It was not following the road very well, seeming to favor the steep drop-off off to one side. It finally did slid to a stop, and Tessie, just sitting there, did us an amazing favor. It miraculously started right up with the key. So we got our wits about us and continued up to higher ground, where we found a few old dead trees that would make for some good firewood. My dad backed the truck into a nearby skid trail and turned off the truck. My dad started his chainsaw and felled 1, 2, 3 trees and bucked them up as we carried the pieces to the truck. The mud from the fresh snow was thick. It would stick to your shoes and your feet and get heavier with every step. Finally, we got the wood piled high and were ready to get out of the cold and into the truck. We all climbed into the cab and with elbows and knees got situated, and then once more as my dad turned the key, Tessie decided not to start. No luck. My dad thought he had parked it on enough of a slope just in case we'd need to do the customary rolling start. But the ground was so wet and the heavy load made the wheels sink into the mud. So everyone was tired and frustrated with our predicament. And my mom just knew we were doomed as we looked out at the blowing snow that was now making our hands freeze and our noses numb. We piled out of the truck and tried pushing. No luck. We might as well have been pushing on a 747. The thing wouldn't budge. With the dire prospect of being stuck in the woods in a snowstorm with a young family, the only thing really heating up was the discussion between my parents. My mom was angry at my dad for dragging us up there in a truck that wasn't reliable, as if there was really another option. My dad was upset that she was upset, and more so that the battery they had just replaced didn't seem to be working. The snow was starting to pile up, and we kids, aged about 7, 9, and 10, we weren't going to be much help as we looked back and forth at each other and our parents. But there was one thing that my dad could think of that would probably be worth a shot. He suggested that we kneel as a family behind the old truck and ask our Heavenly Father for help, as he recognized that we wouldn't be able to do this on our own. My mom was a little reluctant at first, but she also understood that we needed help, and no one else would even know where we were, much less be able to get to us if they did know. So united as a family, we knelt in the mud, and my brother offered a simple child's prayer, and a testimony-building image was created that none of us will forget. This AI image captured fairly accurately the memory of that day, except my dad only wishes he had as much hair. After the prayer, we all got behind the truck, and on the count of three, we pushed as hard as we could, and, well, same thing, kind of the same 747 scenario. Our faith seemed to waver, but we didn't give up, and my dad said, again, and we pushed with all our might, and none of us could believe it. Tessie lurched forward a couple of feet. My mom was shocked, and she went around feeling our little kid muscles. Finally, we tried again, and Tessie moved enough that it started down the hill, and my dad was able to hop in and pop the clutch. Never did the roar of that engine sound so good. We all quickly climbed in, but before we moved too far, my dad said, we better thank God for helping us. And with the truck running this time, we prayed a prayer of gratitude and headed for home. This experience in the mountains of my youth is one such example of a ray of light that has combined with others to build my testimony. Elder Alexander Dushku taught us in this last general conference how these simple rays of light make up our testimonies. He said, "As we recognize, remember, and gather these rays together in one, something wonderful and powerful begins to happen. Light cleaveth unto light, truth embraceth truth. The reality and power of one ray of testimony reinforces and combines with another, and then another and another, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a ray and there a ray, one small treasured spiritual moment at a time, there grows up within us a core of light-filled spiritual experiences. Perhaps no one ray is strong enough or bright enough to constitute a full testimony, but together they can become a light that the darkness of doubt cannot overcome." Close quote. We all have similar experiences that can build us and shape us. They don't always come with superpowers for the hippie family on the snowy mountain in Montana, but it sure is awesome when they do. But sometimes it seems the prayers go unanswered. Trials drag on, health fails, or promises are broken. Where then can we turn when faced with these things that seem to go contrary to any blessed and happy state? This quote from President Russell M. Nelson is very valuable as he answers this question. He says, "Moving your mountains may require a miracle. Learn about miracles. Miracles come according to your faith in the Lord. Central to that faith is trusting His will and His timetable, how and when He will bless you with the miraculous help you desire. Only your unbelief will keep God from blessing you with the miracles to move the mountains in your life." He continues, "The mountains in our lives do not always move how or when we would like, but our faith will always propel us forward. Faith always increases our access to godly power." Like Tessie the old truck, we are sometimes slow to start or mired down in the mud under a heavy load of trials, doubt, or even sin. In order to get back onto the right path, we need to have the faith to move in the right direction and in humility, kneel in the mud and give our load to the Lord and take His yoke upon us. The Book of Mormon teaches in Alma, chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, how the Savior knows our situation and how with mercy lifts us in our times of trouble. It says, quote, "And he shall go forth suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind, and this that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people, and he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people, and he will take upon him their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy, according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities." Earlier in the Book of Mormon, Alma and his people were in bondage to the wicked people of Amulon, and they were nearly crushed by the burdens that were placed upon them. The people pleaded for relief, but the Lord didn't take away their burdens. Instead, he promised them this, quote, "And I will also ease the burdens which are put upon your shoulders, that even you cannot feel them upon your backs, even while you are in bondage. And this will I do, that ye may stand as witnesses for me hereafter, that ye may know of a surety that I, the Lord God, do visit my people in their afflictions." And now it came to pass that the burdens which were laid upon Alma and his brethren were made light. Yea, the Lord did strengthen them that they could bear up their burdens with ease, and they did submit cheerfully and with patience to all the will of the Lord. Even when we are in bondage, bearing heavy burdens of all kinds, if we submit cheerfully and with patience to all the will of the Lord and take His yoke upon us, He will visit us in our afflictions and ease our burdens. We will be able to look back and remember, like the people of Alma, and stand as witnesses for Him as we recognize His presence and strength in our lives. Brothers and sisters, we are His work and His glory. You, me, that hippie family stuck in the mud on the mountains of Montana, we are the reason that He visits us in our afflictions. As we read in Hebrews chapter 12, that Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Brothers and sisters, we are that joy that is set before him, and he is our firm foundation. The many trials and experiences, or even cow pies that we endure to help us build a strong core of testimony, demonstrates the blessed and happy state of our lives. Even amid the mud and the struggles, as we put our trust and our confidence in both the spiritual and the temporal blessings promised to those who keep the commandments of God, may we ever stand as his witnesses. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. In his name I testify, even Jesus Christ. Amen.